from KQED.
From KQED News, I'm Cy Musiker with a Valentine's edition of The Do List. And this week, we're getting mighty real, catching a Cambodian fever, and exploring the Nile. David Wiegand, I presume? He's the assistant managing editor for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning.
And I've been up the river for years.
Well, bring a paddle. Let's begin our international tour today in Egypt. That's music from the Nile Project, the brainchild of the Bay Area's own Maklit Hedero and Egyptian Mina Gerges, who came up with the idea of a collaboration of musicians from all 11 countries touched by the Nile River. And then they're taking this on the road. It's sort of, it's educational. It's also a wonderful way to get up and dance.
No, absolutely. The music is incredible. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of different cultures represented here, which I think is really the point of all this. You know, the Nile goes through so many different countries, and it is such an also very delicate ecosystem. So the project is meant to sort of bring attention to that. But it also is meant to sort of get younger people in particular involved with the cause of protecting the environment of the Nile River Basin.
The Nile Project makes three stops in the Bay Area. Tonight at the Green Music Center at Sonoma State in Rohnert Park, then Wednesday at Bing Concert Hall at Stanford, and Thursday at Zellerbach Hall at UC Berkeley. Talk about meta. A family tries to build a new society after a global nuclear power holocaust and takes as its fundamental text their not very good memories of an episode from The Simpsons. And that's the plot of Mr. Burns, a post-electric play by Anne Washburn. It's coming to ACT.
It is. I remember reading about this when it opened in New York, and I thought it was an absolutely fascinating concept. It's called the post-electric play, I guess because there's no electricity, but they have been telling and retelling this story for years and years and years and years. And then by the end of the play, they actually become the characters of The Simpsons. And that makes perfect sense as a sort of, you know, apocalyptic commentary, I believe. It reminds me a lot of Thornton Wilder's Skin of Our Teeth, actually.
The American Conservatory Theater presents Mr. Burns, a post-electric play, Thursday through March 15th. And on March 7th, ACT Artistic Director Carrie Perloff will talk on stage with former Simpsons head writer John Vitti. We're off to another foreign destination now to listen to Cambodian surf rock. Singer Chom Namol of Dengue Fever. This is world music of a much higher order. This is a band from L.A.
Yeah.
They formed in the late 90s as a way to combine surf rock with Cambodian chords and rhythms. And they've just been adding stuff ever since.
They have. They're really, really fascinating. There's a couple of brothers, Ethan and Zach Holtzman. One of them went to Cambodia, was very influenced by the music there, and then came back and they formed this band. But it's, you know, it really is this sort of strange world mashup that just basically allows them the broadest playing field in the world, and they're really worth listening to.
Yeah, and they've got a great new album out, more radical and more beautiful than ever. Dengue Fever plays the Independent in San Francisco tonight. That's mostly sold out, so get there early for tickets at the door. And there's a free social hour with Dengue Fever at the Bicycle Cafe across the street before the show. And the band plays Mo's Alley in Santa Cruz March 11th. You may know of the late Bruce Conner through his odd films of found footage, his sculptures or his photos, but he was also a printmaker, and the San Jose Institute for Contemporary Art is hosting a show of Conner's work called Somebody Else's Prints, which is a reference, I guess, to another odd habit he had of not putting his own name on his work.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. One of the great things about Conner, and he really was a giant of the beat era, he died in 2008, and he came here from Kansas. You know, many people come here from other places, including me.
Not in Kansas anymore.
But he kept dabbling in all kinds of things. Not really dabbling, but really becoming immersed in all kinds of different art forms. But the one thing that held true throughout his entire career was printmaking. And it was something that he perfected.
Yeah, Bruce Conner, Somebody Else's Prints, continues at the San Jose Institute of Contemporary Art through May 16th. And there's an opening reception tonight. Entry to the gallery is always free. What a great cheap thrill. Now let's get mighty, mighty real. disco ball twirling in here. That's the fabulous Sylvester, Queen of Disco, taken from us too young. And there's a show about Sylvester's life and music opening tomorrow called Mighty Real, developed by singer and actor Anthony Wayne and his partner and co-director Kendrell Bowman. And I talked to them earlier this week in a dressing room at the Brava Theater. And I asked them how they feel about disco. It's a style that a lot of people wanted dead back in the 80s. It's still sampled so much in modern hip-hop.
The disco is still there. Disco is not dead. It's still in the groundwork of everything that we do and all the music that's alive today.
Every night in the audience, you see people walk in, no matter what kind of day that you may have had. You come to our show, and disco music is what makes people alive and happy.
I think what many people remember is that Sylvester was an icon of San Francisco during the height of the 80s. And I think in some ways he's also symbolic of what happened to the Castro and to the artistic community because of AIDS. And I know that Joel Selvin, our former music critic, always said that the death of Sylvester was the death of a huge, huge and very, very important part of San Francisco culture. That said, there's no happier music on earth, I think, than what Sylvester performed in his lifetime.
Yeah, nice to hear it performed again in Mighty Real, a fabulous Sylvester musical. It's in previews tonight and opens at the Brava Theater in San Francisco tomorrow. What a great Valentine's date, and the show continues through March 1st. Thanks a lot, David, and happy Valentine's
Day. Thank you, same to you.
David Wiegand is an assistant managing editor for the San Francisco Chronicle. I'm Cy Musiker. You can find details on these shows and more at KQED.org/the-do-list and follow me on Twitter @CyrusKQED.